Okay. Did it come out clearly yesterday
July
while you were
14th,
recording?
Sharmani Dharma Part 2.
We did record.
Okay.
Mine came out. I bought a new MP3 player and I couldn't get it to work. In
okay.
Mine.
Ours came out clear yesterday.
Oh, very good.
Okay, so we know that the fire has great potential, good potential, and potential for great destruction also. So similarly, the spark of the fire, even though it's infinitesimal, that spark, if there's sufficient fuel, has the just by nature, the spark qualitatively has the power of the fire. And if there's sufficient fuel, then that fire, the fire of the spark, can become so great that it can destroy the whole world. Similarly, on a positive note, the jiva, although an infinitesimal part and parcel of Krishna, if it's properly connected with the Supreme Lord by love and devotion, then that jiva can spread love, can inundate the entire universe with love. Srila Prabhupada gives the example in the fourth canto that if an ordinary person is sitting in an airplane, then the airplane is going, say, 1,000 miles an hour, and the ordinary person, some student, some teenager, whatever, even when they're just joking around with each other, they're also traveling 1,000 miles an hour because they're sitting in the airplane. So similarly, one who has the Supreme Lord in his heart, he gets the power of God to be able to purify the universe just by his presence in it. As Gurudev said in Hong Kong a few days ago, yoga means plus. Us plus Krishna. So when we're connected with Krishna, then we get the power of Krishna, Shakshad Haritva. We don't become Krishna. We can never be exactly like Krishna, but we get the power of Krishna nonetheless. Simultaneous one difference. Now, or just like Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, when he was traveling in South India, he would be chanting Harinam with millions of devotees, and whoever he would embrace, they would also develop ecstatic love of Krishna, and then they would go back to their villages and embrace the people in their villages, and then the people in their villages would develop ecstatic love of Krishna. So in this way. Now, Premdas Babaji begins to explain what is Nitya Dharma. He said the Nitya Dharma, or eternal religion, of the jiva is unalloyed transcendental love of Sri Krishna, or Prema Bhakti. The jiva is transcendental, and the concomitant substance or factor of the jiva is pure consciousness. And the only function of the pure jiva is prema bhakti. And what is that prema bhakti? It is Krishna seva. And when that Krishna seva is taught by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, we know the verse in Arpita Chiring Chirat Kurunayavatiranam Kalo, that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, real prema dharma, began with, as explained later by Premdas Babaji Maharaj, real prema dharma, real, true, ultimate, the pinnacle of nitya dharma, began with the teachings of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And what is that? He taught what no other incarnation or acharya ever gave before, and that is he gave Manjari Bhav, or the service as a maidservant to Srimati Radhika, to the fortunate jivas. Now the jiva has two situations. One of the situations is pure, and in that situation he's chinmoy. That is, he's made of transcendence. And the other situation is conditioned. In his pure state, he has no connection with matter, but still he's insignificant, or rather infinitesimal, in size. Krishna is unlimited. He has no change, although as yesterday we discussed from Srila Gurudev's lecture, that although he has no change, he's ever fresh and new, and he has unlimited unique features. Similarly, the jiva, although he is minute, he is also, in his pure stage, he's eternal, he's great, he's undivided, and he's spotless. Premdas Babaji Maharaj continued that, on the other hand, the conditioned jiva, that jiva who forgot Krishna, and you all know the verse, Krishna Bhuli Se Jiva, Anarya Bahimukh. The conditioned jiva is the one who forgot Krishna, and now he's become oppressed by various so-called happinesses and distress. He's impure, and he only has perverted experiences. Now I'd like to discuss the word forget in relation to the same question of how can we have forgotten something that we never knew in the first place? In other words, why do we say back to Godhead if we were never in back to Godhead? So Srila Gurudev explained that the word forget, and in fact you'll find that Premdas Babaji Maharaj also later on in this chapter explains that whatever I'm telling you in words. But these words are material words, and they're only in connection with material experiences. So just by saying words, you'll never get it. Just by hearing words, you'll never understand what I'm saying. The only way, Premdas Babaji Maharaj is explaining to Sannyasi Thakur, the only way you'll be able to understand all these very deep spiritual subject matters is by your own realization, by your own experience. Therefore, you should always chant Hari Nam constantly and with feeling. And then gradually, according to the degree of realization, of feeling and love that you have, and attachment that you have for the holy name, to that degree you'll realize the spiritual realm and everything that I'm telling you. So the word forget, there's actually no word, not only in English. The word bhuli means forget, and the word bhuli is Bengali, and Bengali is close to Sanskrit, Prabhupada said, so it's close to perfect. But any language in the material world cannot fully convey the meaning of what is discussed. So Srila Gurudev gave the example, and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu also gave the example, and Premdas Babaji Maharaj also gave the example, and Srila Prabhupada also gave the example, and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu also gave the example in Sri Sanatana Shiksha of Chandra Saka Nyai, which is the logic of the moon on a branch, which we discussed in this course yesterday. That is, suppose I say, the moon, there's the moon, it's situated in between the two branches. Obviously, the moon can't fit in between the two branches. It's too big. But we say it just to give someone an indication of the direction that it is. Similarly, when we use the word forget, we don't mean forget in a mundane sense that we say forget. It just means that we turned away from Krishna, from the Tattvastha region. So many words like forgot, forgotten, revived, remember, formally, these are all words that are not really as they seem in the material world. So we become oppressed. Premdas Babaji Maharaj is teaching we become oppressed in the conditioned state by happiness, distress, impurity, and our ego gets perverted. It gets perverted by the subtle body, covering the subtle body, and it becomes perverted by the various forms we take in the material world. Here's another one. The expression is, as soon as the jiva forgets. As soon as there's no time in the tattvastha region, to time comes in the material world. So the word as soon as also doesn't mean that the same jiva is going back and forth, that when the jiva remembers Krishna, he's happy and pure, but as soon as he forgets Krishna, he's conditioned, impure, and his experiences are perverted, his consciousness is perverted. It doesn't mean that the same jiva goes back and forth. There's one quote from the Srimad Bhagavatam with Srila Prabhupada's purport, and that is, the original home of the living entity and the Supreme Personality of Godhead is the spiritual world. In the spiritual world, both the Lord and the living entities live together very peacefully. Since the living entity remains engaged in the service of the Lord, they both share a blissful life in the spiritual world. However, when the living entity wants to enjoy himself, he falls down into the material world. Even while in that position, the Lord remains with him as the Supersoul, his intimate friend. So this may seem that we were with Krishna, we were happy-go-lucky, and then we forgot Krishna and we wanted to enjoy like Krishna, and so we left Krishna and we came to the material world, and now Krishna is still staying with us. But that's not what it means at all. Therefore, we need Guru to help us understand the books. Yaha Bhagavata Pada Vaishnavirastane. If you want to read Srimad Bhagavatam, that's really great. But you have to go to the lotus feet of a pure guru and find out how to read it. So here, Prabhupada, in Prabhupada's translation of the Chaitanya Charitamrita, we find the answer to that. The living entities are divided into two categories, the eternally liberated and the eternally conditioned. That is, there's two categories. Not that one jiva goes back and forth, and back and forth, and back and forth. Those who are ever liberated never come in contact with Maya and the external energy. The ever conditioned souls are always under the clutches of the external energy. The living entities, the jivas, are divided into two categories. Some are nityamukta, eternally liberated, and others are eternally liberated. The Nityabhadas are eternally conditioned by the external energy, and the Nityamuktas never come in contact. So, the ever-conditioned souls can become liberated by Sadhu Sangha, but the ever-liberated souls never can become conditioned. So now, that conditioned soul thinks, this is the words of Prem Das Babaji Maharaj, the ever-conditioned soul thinks, I am the enjoyer of the fruits of my activities. That's his subtle covering, a subtle false ego. And his gross false ego says, I am the king. I am a lady. I am a man. I am a Brahmin. Meow, meow, I am a cat. Woof, woof, I am a dog. I am poor. I am rich. So that very prema of the jivas becomes perverted. And the perverted covering of prema takes the form of attachment and aversion. In the gross sense, it's eating and drinking, all material activities. Now, Prema Das Babaji then discusses the three types of dharma. One is the nitya dharma, that is the eternal religion of the jiva. And then there's the naimittika dharma, that is the circumstantial religion. And then there's anitya, or the false religion. The anitya, the false, there's no conception of God or the soul. It's just material religion. I go to, what's material religion? My religion is money. God is money. Hook it by crook, get money. Nimitic religion is, there's a conception, or occasional religion, there's a conception of God and a conception of the soul. But my relationship with him is that I'm engaged in material affairs, and I say that they're to please him, and I ask him to please me by giving me my daily bread. Oh God, please give me my daily bread. Oh God, my friend is after the same guy that I am. Could you please give him to me instead of him? And then Nitya Dharma, that is achieved by the, Nitya Dharma is the Prem Dharma, love of Krishna, and that's achieved by the activities of love. The desire to serve Krishna in all different ways, that's achieved by love. And this is the activity of the pure souls, just like Mother Yasoda. Her, she always desires to serve Krishna, even when she chastises him and says, I'm going to catch you and beat you because you gave the yogurt and butter to the monkeys. So this is love because it's for Krishna's benefit and for Krishna's ultimate pleasure, even though she has to make him cry right away, so that he'll become a good boy and not get into any trouble when he grows up. He'll lead a happy life. So, the Nitya Dharma cannot be understood by language. It can be understood by realization. And this Nitya Dharma is the ideal Dharma, and it is equal to Vaishnava Dharma. And this was taught to us by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Now Sannyasi Thakur asks, I understand what you're saying, Gurudev. And I understand now that the Mayavadi philosophy is very bad. It denies the beautiful relationship of the soul with the Supreme Soul. But still, I have something that I have to express to you. I can't hide it because you're my guru. This is a very significant point, because if we try to hide something from our Gurudev, Gurudev himself said that this hiding, this problem that I'm hiding, will enter like a needle and go out like a, not like an elephant, but like an atom bomb, and explode our whole bhakti. So Sannyasi Thakur is revealing his mind. He says, I understand that Mahabhav is the pure consciousness of the soul. But my question is this the same as a Advaita city, the perfection of oneness as taught by Sankaracharya? So Premdas Babaji replied by first offering respects to Sankaracharya. And he says, Shankara, Shankara, Shakshad. That is, Lord Shiva, Shankara, and Sankaracharya are the same. Sankaracharya is the incarnation of Lord Shiva. And that is why Chaitanya Mahaprabhu himself addresses him as Acharya. And again, Premdas Babaji Maharaj addresses his disciple as respected sir. Then he told the history of how Mayavad philosophy came about. He said, for some time in India, before the appearance of Sankaracharya, Buddhism took hold all over India. And Lord Buddha, he came out of compassion for the poor animals, because people were misusing the Vedas, which recommends for those in the mode of ignorance, those Puranas in the mode of ignorance recommend that if you have to eat meat, then just do it at this time of month, and worship Kali, and you have to whisper in the ear of the animal, now I'm eating you, in the future you will eat me. So gradually, the person will get the idea that, what am I saying? I better give this up, otherwise I'll get eaten in the future. So out of compassion for the poor animals, Lord Buddha came, and he had to take away the people from the Vedas temporarily because they just would not understand it. So he said, forget about the Vedas, forget about God, just worship me. There's no God, but just worship me. So they worshiped Buddha, and gradually, because he's a pure devotee, the idea is that gradually, by being free from meat eating, they would gradually be able, at a later stage, to understand the Vedas. So, then, under the order of Krishna, to Lord Shiva, Lord Shiva came as Sankaracharya. And now he wants to bring the people back to the Vedas. But he has to use some of the philosophy of Buddhism. So he says, yes, this world is false, but there is a factual Brahman, Brahma, or spirit. But that spirit is impersonal. So he couldn't bring them beyond the impersonalism because they were voidists. So he says, okay, it's impersonal, but there is a substance, a positive spiritual substance, and this world is false. So he was silent, Premdas Babaji Maharaj said, he was silent regarding the extraordinary function of the soul on the spiritual platform, that is Prem Dharma. But he brought the people back to the Vedas, and therefore we Vaishnavas are eternally indebted to him, because it was his philosophy of Nirvishesh Brahma, the qualityless Brahma, that laid the platform for all of our Sampradaya Acharyas who came later on, like Ramanujacharya, Madhvacharya, Nimbaditacharya, and ultimately Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So, Premdas Babaji Maharaj says that his philosophy, Sankaracharya's philosophy, was fine for the time, but it can't be applied at all times. It was fine at the time because he had to remove India from Buddhism. Remove Buddhism from India, sorry. But his philosophy can't be applied forever. Prabhupada tells the story of one horse doctor who had an apprentice. And so his apprentice would learn on the job. So he brought the apprentice to the first place, his first house call. And the horse had a lump in his throat. So the horse doctor, the veterinarian, he wasn't just a horse doctor, he's a veterinarian. So the veterinarian took a hammer and banged the lump on the horse's throat. And the lump went away. So then that apprentice thought, gee, what do I need this guy for? I know what to do now. And so he left without saying anything to his teacher. And then the teacher didn't see him for a year. And then finally after a year or so, he saw him again. And he said, what happened to you? And the apprentice said, I don't know what happened. I thought that I had it down, but then every time I beat the animal that was sick with my hammer, he died. So how can it work for you and it didn't work for me? So the doctor said, you are such a fool. You can't apply anything in all circumstances. That horse had swallowed something big and it got stuck in his throat. So when I hammered it, it went down. But you can't apply that because not every animal has swallowed something and it's stuck in his throat. So in this way, we can't always apply Sankaracharya's philosophy. So Sankaracharya laid the foundation for all of our acharyas, and he was silent in the matter of what is the positive spiritual life. But later on, his followers, so-called followers, that is, who couldn't understand his real intention or motive, they just said, they made a distorted version of Sankaracharya's philosophy and said that there is no individuality on the spiritual platform. God is not an individual, the soul is not an individual, but we just become God. We become that undifferentiated, qualityless God. And there's no activities. So their philosophy is that Prem is illusion, God is illusion, God's form is illusion, the soul is illusion, their love is illusion. And that's a very, very offensive philosophy. So Prem Das Babaji was telling Sannyasi Thakur that up to the point of liberation, there is a oneness, there is an agreement in Sankaracharya's philosophy and the Prem Dhamma of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. But beyond that, Sankaracharya was silent and his so-called disciples just blabbered. They spoke unnecessarily. So, what was Sankaracharya's motive in giving this philosophy? He knew that if I can take the people to understand up to liberation, and I also tell them that if you worship, the only way to get liberated is by worshipping Lord Hari. Of course, there are different objects of worship, but if I also tell them that you have to really get liberated if you worship Hari, then just by that association with Hari in their worship, even though according to Shankara's philosophy, everything stops at liberation, or at least he was silent about what happens after liberation, then the people will get some agyata sukriti, or some unknown, unintentional, pious activities, and gradually they'll be able to understand the Vedas and come to bhakti. But again, his so-called followers didn't understand his motive. Now, Prem Das Babaji is discussing Prem. He said, in Prem, this is why the Mayavadi philosophy is bogus. Because there are always two entities. Prem means spontaneous love and attachment for the living entities towards the Supreme Spirit Krishna. Both have eternal existence, and the living entity is always in the anugatya of God. The Mayavadi philosophy is that God, or Brahma, the undivided, qualityless, impersonal God, fell into Maya, and thus he's assumed so many forms of the jiva. Their analogy, Srila Prabhupada told us when we were brand new devotees, because Prabhupada was teaching us, even when we were total hippies, most of us just came out the day before from LSD and marijuana, and a lot of the devotees used to have big blankets over their heads like teepees in Prabhupada's class. But still he was telling us this wonderful philosophy and the difference between the Mayavada philosophy and Prem Dharma. Why? Because Prabhupada is Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschitya Deshatarne. He came to liberate the Western worlds from voidism and impersonalism. So Prabhupada said that their philosophy is that Brahma, or the undivided impersonal spirit, is just like the vast outer space. And then you take a cup and you run the cup through the space. And some of the space comes in the cup, and then you close the lid, and that's the jiva. The jiva is the air, is the space, and the cup. So, when you break the cup, or when the jiva is liberated, then it becomes that impersonal Brahma again. But this goes against the teachings of Bhagavad Gita. The Mayavadis also use Bhagavad Gita, but they have their own misinterpretation. What Krishna says in the Gita is Mame Vamsa Jiva Bhuta Jiva Loka Sanatana. The living entities are my eternal fragmental parts and parcels. That means they're eternally fragmented. Krishna can never be fragmented, and the jivas can never be fragmented. So if they're infinitesimal parts and parcels, that is eternal. They can't be separated at any time. So Prem Das Babaji Maharaj continues. There are three ingredients in Prem. There's the relisher of Prem, that is the devotee, the object of relish, that is Krishna, and the act of relishing, which is bhakti. in the Advaita Siddha, the Advaita Siddhi philosophy of Sankaracharya and the philosophy of Prem can be considered equal only to the extent that they both consider that the pure soul is not, doesn't have any connection with matter. So when So therefore, Premdas Babaji is saying, because Krishna consciousness is the complete version of anything, as he'll explain later, because the next question of Sannyasi Thakur, not the next question, the original questions, one of the original questions from this chapter is if the living entity is finite, infinitesimal, how can his nature be complete and pure? That was answered already by Sannyasi Thakur. I'm sorry, by Premdas Babaji. And the second question is the philosophy of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and the oneness of the philosophy of Advaita Siddhi, can that be considered the same? He answered that. And the other question was, I forgot. Oh yeah. Then the other question was, how do I understand religion, the different religions of the world? If religion is one, and I accept that now, by your mercy, I accept that religion is one, how do we understand that in different countries, and I also accept that the real religion of the soul, the Jiva Dharma, is Vaishnava Dharma, because that involves the soul's love for Vishnu or Krishna, then how do we understand all the different dharmas of the world, according to different countries and different languages? So Premdas Babaji Maharaj said that the Vaishnava Dharma is the complete and only religion. All the only Nitya Dharma is Vaishnava Dharma or Prem Dharma. And that is the perfect, full and complete Advaita Siddhi. So regarding other religions are different degrees of Vaishnava Dharma. Depending upon the purity of that particular religion, that's how close it gets to the Nitya Dharma or Prem Dharma or Vaishnava Dharma. It was at that point that Sannyasi Thakur said, "Now you've pierced my heart. By your mercy. Today you've actually given me your mercy and you've destroyed my lingering doubts. So now I want to change my dress. I want to wear the dress of a Vaishnava." So Premdas Babaji told him, when Sannyasi Thakurji said, "I want to now take off my Mayavadi dress and I want to put on a dress of a Vaishnava," Premdas Babaji said, "No, I never see what anybody is wearing. I don't see the external dress. When your heart becomes completely, totally saturated with Vaishnava Dharma, then the dress automatically changes. There's no need to artificially change it." In that regard, I'd like to tell a story of me and Gurudev that happened in Holland a few years ago. Some devotees were selling in one of Gurudev's international Hare Katha festivals. Some devotees were selling t-shirts with Gurudev's picture on it. And I criticized that. So my criticism, because as an artist, I had some connection with Prabhupada and Gurudev regarding that the art, the picture of the Guru, the picture of Krishna is non-different from them. So if you throw the shirt in the washing machine or wrinkle it up or sleep on it, it's an offense. So I criticized the devotees. Not out loud, but to myself. I criticized the devotees who were selling the t-shirts, and when one of Gurudev's disciples asked me if it was all right for her to sell the t-shirts also, to buy it wholesale from them, then I told her that no, I thought it wasn't proper. So what I told her got back to Gurudev, And then Gurudev called me into his room and he started chastising me. He said they wanted to use the money of the sale of the shirts to bring me to their country. So, but they're still conditioned souls. They're just starting their bhakti. So if you take that away from them and tell them they're doing bad, they're not going to jump up to the next stage. They're going to jump down to the next stage because they'll get discouraged. And then he quoted Krishna in the Bhagavad Gita, don't discourage those who are in ignorance, but encourage them by adding bhakti to whatever they're doing. And then Gurudev, and I kept saying, but Gurudev. And he just refused to listen to anything I had to say. And then he said, I meaning Gurudev, never see what anybody is wearing. I only see how much bhakti they have, and then I give them more bhakti. So after that, I never looked at anybody's clothes. And even when some devotee apologized to me and says, oh, please excuse me for what I'm wearing, I say, don't worry, I never look. So similarly, Prem Das Babaji told his disciple, everything will come automatically. And he said, you should always remember, you should absorb your heart and always remember Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's instruction. And what was that instruction? That instruction was one of the is one of the two verses that are mentioned in this chapter. That is, do not adopt Malkata Vairagya, external monkey renunciation, simply to impress the general populace. You should accept without attachment whatever sense objects are appropriate for maintaining your devotional practices and give up all material desires within your heart. Internally, develop staunch faith in Sri Krishna and externally carry out your worldly responsibilities in such a way that no one can detect your inner mood. If you act like this, Sri Krishna will very quickly deliver you from material existence. This is the instruction of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to Sri Raghunath Das Goswami. And I won't ask you to memorize this verse today. I will ask you to memorize the verse that's discussed by Prem Das Babaji today, and also which was discussed more elaborately in yesterday's class, which is the second verse of Srimad Bhagavatam, first canto, first chapter. That is, And that is that the Srimad Bhagavatam is understandable by those devotees who are pure at heart, and it kicks out all pretentious religions. So Prem Das Babaji is telling Sannyasi Thakur that the real and only religion is that religion which is propounded by Srimad Bhagavatam and Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And all other religions are pretentious. And to the degree that any religion comes close to Vaishnava Dharma, Sanatan Dharma, Prem Dharma, to that degree, that religion is bona fide. Then, Sannyasi Thakur says, I understand all these instructions. I'm so grateful to you. I will bear on my head all of your instructions. I'm your disciple and I take shelter of you. I realize now that Prem is the only Vaishnava Dharma. Prem is the only Nitya Dharma. It's the only pure and natural Sahajiya, natural nature of the soul. Gurudev said, people call me Sahajiya, but they don't even know what is Sahajiya. It is the natural state of the soul. And the gopis used to practice Sahaj Samadhi, the natural Samadhi of their absorption in Krishna. So then that's when he asks his question, so now I accept that, so how can I understand the various other religions? So Prem Das Babaji replies that religion is one, it is Vaishnava Dharma, and all other religions are creditable to the degree that they are close to the real Jiva Dharma, which is the unadulterated, spontaneous love of the infinitesimal soul towards the infinite Godhead. And then he said, actually, I asked this very same question to Srila Sanatana Goswami. So now we see that Premdas Babaji Maharaj is not only the disciple of an eternal associate, a direct associate of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, that is Pradyumna Brahmachari, but Premdas Babaji himself met Srila Sanatana Goswami. And he asked him this question, that is the love of Krishna propounded by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu the same as the ishq, which is propounded by the Islamic religion? So now Premdas Babaji Maharaj is glorifying Srila Sanatana Goswami and saying he was a great scholar. He was very expert in Arabic language and Farsi language, and his erudition knew no bounds. So when I asked this question, there were other great pure devotees present, like Srila Raghunath Das Goswami and Srila Jiva Goswami. They were all present when I asked this question. So Sanatana Goswami replied that this ishq does mean love in the Islamic religion, but if we see all the propounders of Islamic religion and all of their books and poetry books, we see that the love that they're talking about is not spiritual love, but material love. Even if they talk about the living entity and God, they have no idea what is God, they have no idea what is the soul. Even though they say ISK is in relation to the soul, they think that the soul is the body. And so me and my illicit sex partner, what is it? Soul? What do you call it? Soulmates. Me and my partner are soulmates. Thank you. So they talk about love, but it's not spiritual love. It's just really lust. And then he said, Sanatana Goswami said, and the same thing is true with the Muslim philosophy. They use the word Ru, R-U. And Ru means, it also applies to the soul, but their soul is the body. So Premdas Babaji said that, Sanatana Goswami said, there's no real understanding of Prem in any other religion except for Vaishnava Dharma. And then at that point, Premdas Babaji quotes the second verse of the first chapter of Srimad Bhagavatam, Dharma Prochita Kaita Vocha, that is, which is our verse that we'll all be learning today. Then Sanatana Goswami said to Premdas Babaji, if you have faith in my words, then you can accept my conclusion. So we see that all pure devotees are so humble and respectful in all of their dealings with their questioners. Then Premdas Babaji said that he offered his obeisances to Sanatana Goswami. And then Sanyasi Thakur, in turn, offered his obeisances to his spiritual master, Premdas Babaji. And then this is when he actually asked his question about creation and formation. I mentioned it before because it was also applicable to something that Premdas Babaji said before, but this is actually the time in the chapter when Premdas Babaji was speaking about the fact that we can't understand any of the words of scripture or guru actually until we give up the conception of lady and lad, that I'm a lady or a man. So this is actually the time when Sanyasi Thakur asked the question about the creation and formulation. If you say that the soul gets its eternal nature at the time of creation, then how do we understand that he's eternal? So this was explained very thoroughly by Premdas Babaji Maharaj, that we can't understand spiritual subjects by mundane logic or by debate. It can only be understood by chanting pure Hare Krishna, Nam. Then the Jiva Dharma of the soul is revealed. It cannot be understood by the Eightfold Mystic Yoga system. It cannot be understood by cultivating knowledge of the impersonal Brahma. It can only be understood by constantly chanting Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Then, hearing this wonderful reply from Premdas Babaji Maharaj, he answered, Sannyasi Thakur was so in ecstasy. And then Premdas Babaji said, and how will you know who is a Vaishnava? All in relationship with the holy name. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, there's no need to see any other symptoms except how he's chanting the holy name. Although in the scriptures, particularly the 11th canto, which is also quoted in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, there are many, many symptoms of the three kinds of Vaishnavas. But Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, ultimately you can know by how he's chanting. A pure devotee, Uttama Adhikari, chants with no offense. And he chants with great feeling. Unlimited feeling. The Kanista Adhikari chants sometimes with no feeling. He's always thinking, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. What was the price of cucumbers again? Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Or he's chanting, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Boy, that devotee, he insulted me. I got to get back. How am I going to get back to him? Ram Ram, Hare Hare. And the Madhyama, he always chants with taste. And the pure devotee, he chants, not only does he chant always, but anybody who sees him is inspired to chant. So, when Sannyasi Thakur heard all this wonderful philosophy from his divine guru, Premdas Babaji, he immediately jumped up and began to dance and chant, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. And he immediately got ruchi, or real taste, in the holy name. He offered obeisances to his Gurudev, and he called out, O friend of the destitute, please bestow your mercy upon me. Go Premanandi, Hare Hare Bol. Thus ends chapter 2. Any questions? Are they there? Are you there?
Hi, Mo. I live here. Hi, Mo. Oh, we thought we lost you.
You can unmute your phone using 4 and you can ask the question. I have a question, Divisha.
Okay, good.
You gave us some tips about how to learn verses. Similarly, do you have any tips how we can focus more on quality chanting? I'm like, we get so easily distracted by things going on around us. So, any tips that could help us?
There are so many tips as given by our Guru Parampara, but because this is a Jiva Dharma course, I will answer the question, your question, how to become more absorbed in chanting in relation to learning verses. How's that?
Okay.
Okay, so if we're learning verses in relation to the same mood that fits in with chanting, then we can remember or learn verses in the process of doing our Harinam. That is, suppose, and I can look at a verse, I can put the verse on my lap while I'm chanting, and look at the verse, and then I can try to memorize that verse that is in relation to chanting while I'm chanting. For example, in our Gaudiya Gita Guch, our Gaudiya Gita Guch songbook, there are many prayers to Lord Chaitanya, to Guru, to Radha and Krishna's associates. So for example, and Gurudev said I can pray to anyone of the associates of Radha and Krishna while chanting. Or I can pray to Nam while I'm chanting Nam. So suppose I'm looking at the verse about the glories of Nam. Madhura Madhura Metam Mangala Mangalanam. Oh, the holy name is sweeter than anything, and it's the essence of all of the entire Srimad Bhagavatam. And even if one chants the holy name in negligence and not purely, still the holy name frees him and gives him liberation. So suppose I'm looking at the verse that's sitting on my lap about Nam, and then I'm trying to remember. You could call it memorizing, you can call it learning, or you can call it remembering. I'm remembering my prayer. Krishna Nam is the sweetest of the sweet and the most auspicious of all that is auspicious. It is the fully ripened fruit of the Vedas, flourishing creeper, Srimad Bhagavatam, and it is the embodiment of all knowledge, Chit Shakti. O best of the Bhrigu dynasty, even if someone chants the holy name once with faith or indifference, he is immediately delivered from the ocean of birth and death. So this is actually my prayer to Nam, that how great you are. You're everything. There's nothing outside of you. Please give me your mercy. I need deliverance from Maya. So that's one tip that I'll give today. Okay?
All right. Yes, thank you.
You can also remember any of the songs in the songbook, in the ISKCON songbook, in the Gaudiya Gita Guch songbook. Not only verses, but songs. Like, oh, when will that day come that I can chant Hari, what is it? Kabhi. No. Everything skips my mind now. When will I be able to chant the holy name purely? And when will all offenses leave my mind?
Right.
And when will I get the mercy of Nityananda? When will I be able to call out Nityananda and O Chaitanya? When will I be able to set about preaching the pure Nam in a humble state of mind? So all the songs in our songbook we can think about. You can call it memorizing, you can call it remembering. And Gurudev said that, this is coming from Gurudev, that the reason that we're singing bhajans, the reason we sing the songs, is just so that we could remember them during Harinam. Not just during Harinam, but always. He said if you chant Harinam without singing bhajans, then you'll be asking Krishna for all kinds of material things. Kabhi Hari Bala Se Dinamar Bhaktivinoda Thakur. So he said if you chant Hare Krishna without the bhajans, then you'll be filled with all kinds of material desires. But if you sing the bhajans and try and remember them, then gradually impressions will be made in the heart, and these will become our prayers. The prayers of our acharyas will gradually become our prayers, and when we chant Nam, we'll be able to weep. He said we can always also think of the pastimes of Krishna while we're chanting. And he told one story of Mother Yasoda. This instruction of Gurudev for remembering various pastimes while we're chanting, you can find in the book Secret Truths of the Bhagavatam. Gurudev is telling the story of Mother Yasoda, and she picked up one of Krishna's toys and is holding his toys or his flute. Krishna has already gone to Mathura, and Mother Yasoda is starting to walk towards Mathura from her house. It's the hottest season of the year, the hottest month of the season, the hottest week of the month, the hottest day of the week, the hottest time of the day, and she's walking to Mathura. So her Saki asks her, "Oh, Yasoda, where are you going in this heat?" And Yasoda says, I'm going to Mathura to see Devaki, because Krishna's there, and I want to have darshan of Krishna. I'll go and wash her pots and clean her house, and when she asks me why I'm doing this, I'll say, so that you'll allow me to see your son. I won't say my son, I'll say your son, just so she won't get disturbed. So then Mother Yasoda kept walking, and a few feet later, she fainted. Not from the heat of the day, but from the heat of her separation. So Gurudev was weeping when he told this story, and so were the devotees in the class. And then he said, so you can think of, this is one thing you can think about while you're chanting. And there are so many others. Is that okay?
Yes, thank you.
Thank you. Any last question, because it's getting late now?
Any last question, please? And then I have a couple of quick announcements, Didi, if there are no questions now. Should I go ahead, Didi?
Yes, please.